Hi, this is Lainey, and you're listening to And Now We Said It. Today we're going to recap Real Housewives of New York Season 3, Episode 4. Please subscribe and rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts or wherever you may listen. Please head over to projectcompact.org and consider donating. As always, I'm joined by Kelly, who is the wonderful and brilliant host of the Best Mediocre Morning Show, or is also the host of, I should say it that way.
Thank you. Hi, you called me brilliant.
Hi, Kelly.
I'll take it. Also, very well done on the opening. You nailed it. I mean, it was fast.
Thank you. Considering I was about to crack
you
up.
You took that breath in the beginning, and I was like, oh, no. And then I was, like, trying to hide my face. And then I saw you looking, and I was like, okay.
I saw you doing something. I was like, don't look over that way. Don't look over that way.
I was trying not to look at you because I didn't want to make a face. And then I peeked and I saw you weren't looking and you were reading. And I was like, wow, she's reading this very fast. And she did not miss a beat. And she called me brilliant. Good day, sir.
I was like, just get through the fucking thing because you're going to start cracking up. And it's going to be midnight before we actually start recording this goddamn episode.
It's always the opening, so you did great. I would say that I feel weird being called the host. I'm a co-host. There's one of five of us.
Co-host.
I just don't want any of them to listen and be like, oh, she thinks she's a host.
You're the only one that really matters.
To me, at least. Everyone. They're not listening to this podcast. So thank you for that introduction. That made me feel really good. How has your week been? Besides, you know, this whole, you know, past 20 minutes.
Of me having a meltdown because every computer device went in.
Whatever that song is about the Ritz, let's just change it to On the Fritz.
Putting on the Fritz, yeah. My week's been good.
You're gonna say every week. I don't really remember what happened.
No, I live in the moment. I'm very zen.
Well, you have a very fun weekend planned.
I do, yeah. It'll be good to get together with my bestie and her sister and cousins and, like, longtime family and friends.
It's annual girls' trip, right?
Yeah. So we were supposed to go to North Conway, except the apocalypse happened. So I think we're just going to someone's house instead. She's, like, kicking her husband out for the weekend. I think there's supposed to be a medium involved. I don't know.
That sounds like a good time.
Yeah.
I will say that we found out that the ladies of the Real Housewives of New York will be filming their weekend getaway in Salem this upcoming weekend, which is interesting because I believe since Dorinda got fired and they can't do the Berkshires anymore, they are doing it. And why Salem? I'm unsure, but they chose Salem.
I can't think of anything in Salem that's, like, real bougie. Like, the Hawthorne Hotel's kind of bougie.
I would love if they did something, like, that was supposedly haunted and the girls all, like, freaked the fuck out. Like, could you imagine Ramona, like, oh my god, oh my god, did you see that over there? It moved so fast, so fast. I think it was a ghost.
I'm pretty sure the House of Seven Gables
is
haunted.
I would just die. I would give all 25 cents in my bank account to see Ramona staying in a haunted house with Sonia and them being boozed up and Sonia and Ramona being like, Sonia, Sonia, what are you doing? Oh my God. Oh my God. Really working on my Ramona impression.
Yeah, I don't know about haunted houses up that way. I know there's a graveyard in Marblehead that is super haunted. Like, you see old war generals. It's like the old courtyard. I don't know. It's like off the side of a cliff.
I wonder if it's the same. So in Hocus Pocus, the graveyard was actually filmed in Marblehead. Most of the movie was filmed in Salem, but
it's probably that
particular
one.
Which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, it's a pretty famous one, and they have reports of, like, just seeing a woman sitting by her own grave. It's just me. What am I supposed to do? Which graveyards aren't usually houses, haunted?
No? Oh. Like, think about that.
Well, yeah, because there's no energy at a...
Think about it.
There's no energy at a graveyard.
The people that are haunting aren't haunting. They're not just, like, hanging out, like, what up, Joe? Sup, Billy? They're not partying in their graves with each other, like, have a fucking kegger in the middle of the graveyard. Actually.
Truth be told, the only real knowledge I have about ghosts is what I know from watching The Ghost Whisperer for many, many years. I've seen that series, like, at least 4 times.
So I took...
Because I'm a nerd. Mean,
we both are. There's no judgment here on that. So I took a picture of the partitions that I have that we got to send to my friend Holly. She hadn't seen them yet. And when I was taking the photo, there was a random blue dot moving around. And I was like... I had my contacts in, and I was like, ugh, must be me. And then I took a photo, and the random blue dot's there.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah. You have an orb.
And the time I remember having orbs, like, in my photos a lot was when I went to the Ford Theater, where Lincoln was assassinated. There were a lot of orbs that developed from that digital camera.
That makes sense. Yeah. I actually thought I had a ghost at work today, because I'm at work completely by myself right now. I'm on, like, my new job site, but no one else is there yet, so I'm just kind of there setting everything up for the week. And I just hear, like, this banging and clattering, like, all day in the corner, and I'm like, what the fuck is that sound? And it sounds like someone's, like, doing dishes. And finally...
Was someone doing dishes?
Finally... No, it clicked. So one of the windows in the building is out for, like, a HEPA filter, because we usually, like, tie in filters. And there's, like, a little attenuator thing, and it's, like, clacking back and forth because the wind from outside. But it sounded, but, like, I couldn't, it wasn't in my line of sight.
So you could hear it,
from
but
where
you couldn't.
I was sitting, so I couldn't actually. I couldn't see it, and it sounded like it was coming from the opposite corner. So I was like, what the fuck?
Was it as bad as me last week?
Not quite as bad, but almost.
Oh my god.
That was amazing. That was like dinner theater.
Grab a weapon! I only have a stapler! And I'm like the guy from, like, Office Space, when he's like, my stapler. And it's the red swing line.
I'm going to burn this house down.
I'm going to burn this house down. My stapler. Oh, God.
And my stapler. I did not receive my text.
Did you get the memo? Just, you know.
I'm going to need you to go ahead.
I'm going to stop. I could quote that movie all day long.
That's the movie that actually really... like, pushed me into the decision to become a construction worker instead of, because I was like, I am this guy. I will never keep a cubicle job. It's not me.
Yeah, it's not me either, which is slightly disappointing. But you know what? Life is life.
Yeah, unfortunately, I have more of it today than I did 10 years ago, but.
I will say that my annoyingly perfect boyfriend John, perfect in comparison to me, who's like a dumpster fire. Like, he's like has the best jobs, you know, is like the kindest person, has all these talents, and I'm like literally human trash. I'm like, I like watch a lot of TV, and like I'm on 2 podcasts where I just swear all the time.
Well, you know, opposites attract.
But, so John made me, from scratch, a desk for my office, and...
Did he bake it?
Did he bake my desk?
From scratch?
Yeah, added flour and everything, really. He actually cut the tree down in the backyard. That's how it... I know, really, it was like, I need fresh wood. This tree has just been here too long. Anyways,
But could you imagine if you were like, I have a giant bread desk?
It would last me a week. I would eat the shit out of it. It'd be like a, I'd use like a corner, and instead of like a pen holder, it'd be like a bread bowl for soup.
Oh my god, that would be
Cheddar
amazing.
and
You
broccoli
just
soup. I'm
like.
just like slowly, like my laptop's just sliding down the fucking thing, and I'm like, don't mind me. Soup shouldn't be chewy. It's the bread.
I love it.
But no, so he made this
That's
beautiful
awesome.
desk for me. It's like almost like an executive desk. It's a corner desk. He asked how big I wanted it to be, and it has enough space for, I want to get an iMac, and it has enough space for that, for my recording equipment, for my printer, and for me to do writing. And I have drawers, which means I
Nice.
can get rid of clutter. Oh.
Nice. Might be the first time in history a man has asked a woman how big he wants her wood to be, and I fucked that up. You guys
I
know
knew
where
where
I
you were
was going with
going,
it.
and I'm sad that you didn't get there. What a missed
Wait, let me try
opportunity.
again. Might be the first time in history a man has asked a woman how big she wants the wood to be, and he actually
There we
delivered.
go. You still, I saw your
Boom!
eyes like doing that thinking thing where you have to look up at the ceiling because your brain is somehow like if you have your eyes up, you can somehow see into your brain to focus. I do that all the time. I'm like, one.
Yeah, I'm not good at the improv or
Is
any
that why
real
you? No,
comedy.
you're good at comedy. Is that why you read from the computer every time it's the opening? You're like, and I'm going to read verbatim what I wrote. There is no improv here. You will not get improv from me because I will freak out and panic.
How do I end every episode?
Yeah.
I'm
You
done.
just totally gave up at
So,
one
yes.
point. Like, just.
Yeah, so there needs to be some level of
That's fair.
preparation out of
You're
me.
like, and. And I'm like, and. Okay, so that
Done.
means thank you guys for listening.
I was so mad at myself because last week when you actually walked out to go fight crime, I was like, I couldn't come up with anything to say. And then the other night I was trying to fall asleep and I'm like, I can't believe I wasn't like, so for applications to be our new
See, I
podcast
hate
host.
that shit. Or
And I was like,
I
you
have it to me all the
motherfucker.
time. Like, if I'm fighting, like in a fight with someone, I'm like, oh my God, why didn't I say that? That was so perfect.
The jerk store called. They're out of you.
And so am I. Bye. Yeah, that's my comeback. Yeah, bye. That's all I get.
It's
Yeah,
good.
Oh, anyways.
All right. So should we start talking
We
about this damn show?
should.
All right. So we open up with Jason walking into Bethany's house, and she's just chilling in a bathrobe without any of her parts falling out, by the way, which I think is really
It looks
impressive.
like such a comfy bathrobe. It looked
It really
so
did.
comfortable. And so this is, you know, the start of Fashion Week. Kill me. Like, I have dead eyes right now. Like, I hate Fashion Week episodes. I mean, they were good. This season was good, but
Yeah.
so they're talking. Was there
I
any
mean,
red
I just.
flags you noticed?
Yes, and I actually wrote them
Ooh,
in red
look
this
at you
week.
coordinating efforts.
I know. Well, first, I have to say the funny thing that Bethany said. She goes, "You're not as big as Luann, but you're cuddlier."
Wait, did it start with them or did it start with the fight? I could have sworn it started with the fight. No? Okay, yeah, no. No, you're right.
Yeah, no. Yeah, they discussed the showdown. I think the fight was in the preview, so maybe that's why you think
Yes.
it
Yes.
started with the fight. Yeah. Okay.
I just watched it this morning too, and I'm like, is that right? Yeah, I'm gonna trust Lainey.
Luck with that. So this is the red flag I picked up on. They're discussing a living situation and moving in, and Jason says there will be a commitment made, And here's where my red flag is. So a lot of things in Bethany's life are uncertain in this moment, specifically her friendships and relationships, and the promise of security during uncertain times like that feels like a red flag to me. Maybe not on its own, but in the scenario, it feels like a red flag.
The thing I took issue with was when she was talking about the fight, it was almost like he didn't care if she lost her friends, you know, because she was like, oh, I have the three, you don't need the three B's or whatever. And he's like, no bitches, no whatever. And he's like, you have me. And it's like, well, that shouldn't be all she has. Ooh, and the way he phrased it, I was like,
that's a good one.
It seems like you're trying to get her to separate from her friends. Like, there are definitely ways to go about this and say, like, this person's not healthy for you. Like, maybe reevaluate your friendship with them. But he is trying to separate her from her friends. Like, at his birthday party, her friends were her assistant, Julie, and one other person.
I think that's pretty much all her friends, to be fair.
Yeah, but not before this, is what I'm saying. He slowly starts to make her maybe unconscionable to her, unconsciously to her. He alienates her. As we'll see, you know, going forward. Yeah.
I think that's kind of where I was going with my thing, where is like she's feeling very alone, and he's like, oh no, I'll be your rock, I'll give you a rock, because I am
your rock. And it's like, if you're in a place, if you're in a vulnerable place, that sounds like what you want to hear, but it's not what you should hear, it's not what you need to hear.
But that being said, if all my friends dumped me at the same time and I was dating a nice guy, I would kind of want him to be like, yeah, but I still love you.
But that's the difference.
You have me. Don't worry about it.
And I think that's something that, and that's something that I think any, John would do that if all my friends did that to me. But there's a difference between being.
Well, you'll find out next week when we all dump you.
It's happened before. I'll handle it.
We have a little coalition.
Who doesn't have an anti-Kelly coalition? I mean, seriously. You listen to that other podcast? I get shit on all day long. Man, it is rough goings. But no, there's a difference between.
It's only because we all love you.
Yeah, I'm a dumpster fire. It's fine. I'm a trash human. Whatever.
No, you're not. No, you're stop saying. I don't about actually yourself. Mean no,
it.
No, you're not.
It's my self-deprecating humor.
Okay, good.
So,
yes. We'll quit it.
I feel like it works for the show. For the show? Like Ramona, not in real life, but on the show she's good. Self-deprecation on the show, but in real life, no. Just across the board, no? All right.
No. No, you're a lovely person. Let yourself be a lovely person.
But I still like to self-deprecate. It makes me laugh. But anyways, so back to my point.
So
what my issue is, there is a difference between a nice guy saying he'll be your rock and a manipulative guy saying he'll be your rock. With all of the other things, red flags we've seen leading up to this point, you can tell that he's a manipulative person. And so instead of wanting to be like Bobby, he really wants Jill and Bethany to repair their relationship because he cares about their friendship. It's not like he's like,
yeah, and he likes Bethany's big boobies.
Can you just anyways, but we'll touch on the boobs later. See what I did there? That was good. Put a pin on the boobs.
Ow.
I don't know. I don't have any. But the way he did it, it just felt like almost like he didn't think she could repair it. Like, it wasn't like, oh, like, see what happens with time. Or it was like, oh, well, you have me. And it's like, right, but you, like, you shouldn't, and I say this all the time, I want to be with John. I don't need to be with John. She needs to be with Jason in her head right now, and that's unhealthy, and he's feeding off of that. So that's where that part of it. Because there's a difference between, like, it is nice for a person to say that, but it's all about who the person is.
Right.
He could be a snake.
A snake.
You called me a skank. What?
Or. Oh, I didn't write down. I thought I had written down the actual quote. Uh-uh. I feel like you wrote down the actual quote.
I
didn't take
any notes as I was watching, remember? I will start doing that again. Okay.
So we go to the Pamela Rowland show, speaking of snakes, where Kelly Killorn Ben Simone patronizes Pamela Rowland's son.
She does that with kids.
And is all ass kissy.
She does it with Avery, too. Yeah. She's like, oh, you're so cute.
Yeah.
You're so cute.
Yeah. Yeah. Wicked patronizing. I hated people like that when I was a kid.
I got it as an adult. Like, oh my God, I remember when you were this big. And it was like, cool, I don't remember when I was, like, who are you? I fucking hated it.
Well, I'm not. I have a bank account now. Please treat me accordingly. Listen, it's open, it's functioning, you're not in jail. You
my
have
taxes
a bank account,
are paid,
okay?
As of now.
Yeah. Yeah. There are no warrants. You're fine.
I would not do well in jail, although I would know about the mustard packet.
Okay, for a second I thought I didn't hit record again. I did. Okay, we're good. Holy shit.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the shit show that is And Now We Said It. And Now We Said It.
In my defense, I had to restart my computer and my iPad and the Zoom meeting like twice. So it was a rough go getting into this.
We're good.
But we're good. I'm good.
We're good.
We're good. This is fine.
You see that meme with the dog at the table and the house is on fire and he's like, this is fine. That's how I feel. My constant. Yes.
That's me every day of my life.
That's my constant disposition in life is, this is fine.
Yeah. That's why we did so well through the pandemic, because
this is fine.
Oh, the world is collapsing.
We'll start a fucking podcast.
Thursday for me.
It's like freaking Inception inside my head every day. Collapsing all the time.
Yeah.
Welcome to my journey, bitches.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, I am and I'm only saying this because we're recording today on the Marines' birthday. So happy birthday, Marines. Go get yourself
and
white girl wasted.
And tomorrow's Veterans Day, so I'd like to say thank you to John for being a veteran. And to all veterans.
Yes. Yes. Happy Veterans Day, John. And
and everyone. Thank you for your service.
It's obviously, we're big supporters of veterans, so yes. But so I was thinking about when I was in high school and I wanted to join the Marines. And the conversation went something like this. Me, I want to be a sniper. Them, women aren't allowed in combat. Me, I didn't ask you what women are allowed to do. I'm telling you, I'm going to be a sniper. And they're like, yeah, but women are not allowed in combat. And I was like, I didn't, once again, didn't ask you. And they're like, do you know what court-martialing is? Because you're a good candidate.
I was actually thinking of being a lawyer for the Army.
Because you saw that Jack Nicholson movie
too
many times?
No, because I wanted to like serve my country as like that's who I am. And then I love law, but then I was like, I still have to go through boot camp? Fuck that.
Yeah, no. The second I found out how much they run, I was like, no, I'd rather be shot than run.
Just kill me now. I'm never going to see. I'm going to be in a courtroom. No, I still have to do. No, I'm good. Nah, bro, I'm good.
Yeah. You could send me out to like actual war. I'll be fine. I'll figure it out. I'll get a grab a bayonet. I'll do well. Okay, Purple Heart for me.
I just picture you with like a pocket knife attacking insurgents.
Like this. Get the fuck out of here. But like, please don't try to put me through boot camp first. Just send me to the place.
I can't get screamed at. I'm a sensitive human. If someone starts screaming at me, I'd be like, I'm sorry. And then I'd get angry. I'd go through like the stages of grief, but not grieving. I'd be like grieving my own sanity. I don't know. But I would like be me crying and then being like, stop fucking telling me what to do. Like a teenager going through puberty. It wouldn't be good for anybody.
I just had this image of you standing in like one of those Beetle Bailey type situations where like all the soldiers are lined up and you're now screaming at some like big scary dude's face and he just like takes your head and like pushes you down to the ground.
There was a Disney movie with Hilary Duff called Cadet Kelly.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Because she's...
I only know the Lizzie McGuire movie.
So she's about my age. She's a little bit younger than my age. So her shows, they were what I grew up with. And so on Disney, when Cadet Kelly came out, I was like, yeah, bitches. And then I was like, okay, not great. Still a Hilary Duff movie.
Was it like supposed to be the new age Private Benjamin? Did you ever see that one, Private Benjamin? With Kate Hudson's mom.
Goldie Hawn.
Goldie Hawn. Holy crap. How did I forget? Yeah. Private Benjamin is one of my all-time favorite movies.
Interesting.
So good.
So it's basically about her dad being in the... I don't know. I'm not going to recap the... Let's recap the thing we're supposed to be recapping.
Yeah.
So we're at the Pamela Rowland show.
Yes. That was our tribute to the nation's military. Thank you.
We tried so hard to be like great about it. And it ended up with me saying, Cadet Kelly was a movie on Disney Channel.
It ended with Hilary Duff.
That's our brains work, everybody. And if anyone's listening to this, please tell your friends that you can listen without watching Bravo because we barely fucking talk about it.
Exactly. So, okay, so Bethany shows up to the Pamela Rowland show and Lou's all like, oh, I didn't know.
Did you just have a stroke there? Because you're like, the Pamela Rowland show. I'm like, hi, thank you for my chicken pot pie. Hey, do you want to say hi?
Kelly is getting chicken pot pie.
Say hello, everybody.
Hi, John.
Lady, we really need to talk about these.
You say hello, everybody.
20 ounce, okay?
Hold on. She can't hear.
All right.
Okay.
Good day. All right. Bye. Okay. Thank you. Love you. Mwah. Chicken pot pie in my mouth. Yeah, yeah. Chicken pot pie in my mouth.
John wants to talk.
I keep telling him to DM you, but he doesn't know what that means. He only got Instagram to support me. I can't. This guy is a saint.
That's adorable. He really is. All right.
Pamela Rowland.
Bethany
goes.
Go ahead.
Bethany goes. And Luann's all verklempt because she wasn't expecting Bethany to be there. And then she like does one of those Luann passive aggressive digs and was like, "Oh, I wasn't expecting you to come because you don't really do fashion shows." Right? That was the dig, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So then Bethany's like, oh, well, I got invited to this one. I forget why. And then she always goes to the other one. She always goes to Jill Stewart. She's like, oh, well, I've seen you at a ton of them this year. And she's like, Bethany's like, no. And then Bethany just snaps. And she's like, I don't like you. We're not friends. You're a liar. You're a snake. And then Lou's like,
I don't know what to do right now. Stop it.
And that was my takeaway. Until they sit down. But please, tell me your takeaway from the actual fight while I eat my chicken butt pie. Too hot, not eating.
Well, Luann just goes back into defending Jill to Bethany and And B says, well, Jill's the one who's been saying you've been sleeping around all last
Yes.
year, which fucking savage.
Dude, when
And I
Bethany lost
love
it on there
it.
finally, I was like, thank God.
Yeah. Yeah, and Kelly Ben Simone, of course, feels embarrassed while Bethany and Lou hash out the semantics of how B insulted her. Because she's like, you called me a shark. She goes, no, I said a snake. She goes,
And
no, I
then
heard a shark. Now
she's
they
like,
start arguing
you called
about
me a
that.
skank. And she's like, no, a snake. At one point, I'm pretty sure Lou says, you called me a skank. And she was like, no, I called you a snake. You're a snake. You're a snake.
Yes, she
And she's
did.
like emphasizing.
But also kind of a skank.
Yes, she is. So I did like something Bethany said about how these women get like, oh, this isn't the time. This isn't the place. It's like, well, like, what are you supposed to do before a fashion show? It's like, no one's like, fucking, they're just talking. Nothing's happening.
Yeah, most of the people in the room are fucked up on heroin. Like, let's calm down. It's fucking New York Fashion
Rolex.
Week. We all know what happens backstage. All right, I watched Hell on Earth. I know exactly how these things go down.
I really wish I thought of that before she did. Kel on Earth, yeah.
What? Hell
Would
on
have been a
Earth?
great book title for me.
I love Kelly Catrone
Could
so
you?
much.
That's
She needs to be
literally
back on
would have
my
been my
TV.
perfect book title. Kel on Earth, a memoir.
I forget what her book was called.
Are your dogs drinking in the background? I can hear
Yes.
the slurping.
They're whiskey. They're drinking whiskey. That's probably the least disruptive they've
I
ever been. And somehow
I
it's
was like,
still
what is that?
disruptive.
It was just because it was a weird noise. I was like, is that on my end? Did I have one? We get to see,
So
oh, I
I
was gonna
have
say, we get
another
to see
red
Lisa
flag,
Rinna.
by the way. Oh yeah.
Before she
Yes,
becomes
Lisa
the Beverly
Rinna.
Hills housewife, we see Lisa Rinna this episode.
Before she becomes the biggest asshole on Bravo.
All right, so red flag.
Red flag. They're all over the place. All right. So Luann says, with that face, I can understand why Jill would be scared of her because she's like a mad dog. And this is a red flag because it's fucking gaslighting. You're vilifying the person that you're actually persecuting so you can feel like a victim.
That's not what gaslighting is.
You know, like, I had this whole argument about the word irony today, too. Because I'm not my day. No, but so. Let me
Okay.
elaborate a little. Lou and Jill are trying to make Bethany out to be the crazy
Yes.
one, the aggressor in this whole fight. And so Bethany walks in, Lou throws the dig.
It was like bait.
Bethany has a visceral reaction because she's pretty much at her wit's
Lou's
end in general with the whole
passive
situation.
aggressive dig was bait. She knew what she was doing.
Right. And so when Bethany takes the bait, which it's on Bethany for taking the bait, but still, she took the bait because they knew she would. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, Bethany's like a mad dog. That face. Oh my God. She's so crazy. She's so aggressive. You can't say a word to her without flipping out.
Okay.
That's the
No.
gaslighting. Did I get
No.
it? Did I get it right? Fuck
I
you.
know where you're going with it, and I know why you would think it would be like gaslighting, but gaslighting would be doing it to the person themselves. So gaslighting would be like convincing a person of
Oh,
something
yeah.
that didn't happen, or turning an argument.
So it's
That's
gaslighting by
kind of like
proxy?
Munchausen's by proxy, but gaslighting by proxy. Yeah. So she's trying to
Yeah.
project this image of Bethany so that other people see it as that way. Right. Not
Right.
gaslighting. But
Okay.
we'll say gaslighting by
Okay.
proxy. Why not?
Sure. We just invented
Is it accurate? No. Do we care? No.
Probably not.
No.
No. And then, of course, Kelly Ben Simone has to sit next to her.
Well,
best
there's,
friend,
a famous,
Lucerna,
she's there's a famous person. She has to be near them. Listen, I downloaded this article from 2010 from the Wall Street Journal, weirdly enough, that's recapping this episode. I don't know why the Wall Street Journal recaps Housewives, but so Chris Simmons is the author, right?
Because it's awesome.
So he goes, wouldn't you know it, but Luann and Bethany are itching for a catfight. This one gets nasty, literally, as the ladies refer to each other as nasty. At first, Kelly seems to do the right thing by positioning herself between them, but then decides she needs to move next to her good friend Lisa Rinna and catch up. This leaves Bethany and Luann in a deep freeze next to each other. Brr, indeed. Brr, comma, indeed.
That guy should be doing this
show. I mean, literary genius, I think so.
I hope he got a Pulitzer for that. Or, no, wait, what do journalists get?
I think it's Pulitzers.
Do they get Pulitzers? No, that's...
No, do they get...
I know it's
I think
book
it's
authors
writers
definitely
in general
get Pulitzers.
I think it's just a subcategory.
Okay. All right, you know what? Get a fucking... He deserves a Pulitzer.
It's kind of like okay. The Housewives of New York deserve an Emmy. Where's their fucking Emmy?
You're never going to get it. So then we go to Ramona and Avery going to their show, and Kelly Ben Simone is there. I don't really have a whole lot. I have like one major thought.
Tell me your major thought.
It.
Go.
Perez Hilton at this time in history, because he's made
this
a
is
lot
when he
of
was
apologies
a human.
Since. Is, yeah. He's the biggest dirtbag ever.
He was
ever.
Drawing, like, penises and, like, cum drips and all of that really fucked up shit on people.
Yeah, that I never really had a problem with. But he was, I mean, he was, like, human garbage.
Oh, no,
like, you want to talk about trash and human garbage.
Awful.
Perez Hilton
oh, yeah,
was
absolutely.
This guy at that time. Yeah. And so the fact that Jill and Kelly Ben Simone are cozying up to him speaks volumes about where both their heads are at this season, especially because we're going to put a pin in it because something else is coming up
and
he's involved
not
later
for nothing
in the season.
But Jill is so snaky, like she makes comments about people, like gay people, all the time, and like she's like, oh, what are you wearing, what are you, ugh, they're too much, they're too, and it's like, whoa. So for her to relate, like for her to be in the company of Perez Hilton just shows that at this point in time they were trash. Just trash.
Yeah. Yep. Water seeks its own level.
Interesting. That's a little too I don't know, it's
That's
a little
a saying,
too philosophical
right?
for me right now. Trying to get a seltzer water delivered.
I know, I have to figure out what I'm going to do for dinner. I might tell you to start talking at one point.
You know, I'll do
tacos.
It too.
Yeah,
I don't have anything to say except who the fuck is Kelly to judge Ramona for putting Avery in a cab?
I mean, she's like 12 years old. I was taking the train by myself
like,
at that age.
She has a phone.
She's a city kid.
And
it's
for
just
Kelly
different.
Blake, I would never do that. Well, bitch, your children have to see your naked body on Playboy. Tell me more.
Your kids probably watch you smoke crack. Go fuck yourself. Or
whatever,
or meth,
you're
or whatever
on,
the fuck you like
which
to smoke.
I think is a copious amount of things. Yeah. So I'm going to watch my language real quick in case one of the kids is the one to bring me a soda water. I thought it was so weird that Ramona actually went with Kelly. Like, if someone gave me...
Well, I think she was like, oh, I wasn't expecting to be invited. So she's like, and also like, Ramona's not going to miss out. She's got wicked
But for
FOMO.
Me, I feel like if someone would invite me like that, I'd be like, They definitely don't want me to go. Now it's almost like this forced invitation. I'm super uncomfortable. Oh, I can swear. I wasn't sure if it was going to be the kids. Thank you. Got my soda water. We're good.
Actually, I thought that it was kind of a gracious invite out of Kelly. Like, it seemed pretty genuine that she was like, oh my god, yeah, definitely come, you know?
I mean, yes.
So I think that's why she felt like, all right, I'll go, because that was actually, you're making me right. feel like I'm wanted there. Yeah.
I mean, that's all I had to say about that.
So that's, yeah. So we go to the Robert Verde Lounge where Bethany is showcasing her skinny girl margarita. And Alex walks in and they start talking shit about Jill. But like, and this is the way that I like people talking about shit, where they're like, she acting like an asshole? Yeah, she's acting like an asshole. Okay, as long as we're both on the same team here. Like, that's when you're on the same team, where you're like, I'm not crazy, right? She's acting like a piece of shit.
And then it's like, well, I'd say it to her face. Yeah, me too. And you're like, all right, cool. Like, as long as, like, what you're saying, you'd say to that person's face, or be prepared for them to hear about it, because you know someone's going to say something. So be comfortable with what you say. And the way that they were just like, this is, like, not normal, right? Like, this behavior, like,
yeah.
Am I in the wrong? I feel like I'm not in the wrong, but I need someone to validate that for me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the just check to make sure I don't owe an apology anywhere, and then proceed to shit talk, and then like go on with your life, because that's all it really needs. We all do it. It's like fun.
I judge. I like to judge. It makes me laugh. I make myself giggle. It makes me feel better. Does it speak a lot about my character? I don't fucking care. I like to judge. And you know what? People judge me, so I don't
care. That's why we're here.
We don't like to judge here on this show.
Literally, we spend 2 hours a week talking about people in the most judgmental way ever.
Couldn't be meaner. Could be meaner. Could be a lot meaner.
Yeah. So this is my favorite quote of the episode. Why do you need Prozac and lithium?
How did I miss that? Yes.
Did you miss that? So Bethany makes Kelly take a sip of the skinny girl margarita, and she goes, oh, it's good. And then they have like a little pleasant interchange, and Bethany makes a joke of like, oh, this is why I put Prozac in it, so everyone will get along. And then she makes a joke about having taken her lithium that morning, and Kelly looks her like dead serious and goes, why would you need Prozac and lithium?
Oh my god, I don't know how I missed that. Because I remember her.
I don't know how you missed that. That's insane that
I
missed that.
All I remember is her saying, oh yeah, that's not strong, and Bethany being like, oh, I love this outfit. Thank God I don't have to take my clothes off. I heard nothing else. That's all I heard. I don't know how I missed the Prozac and lithium comment.
Yeah, because Bethany's like, do you really think I put Prozac, or I take Prozac and lithium? Well, she'd be much happier if she did. I'm not saying that she doesn't need to take at least one of those. I mean,
she's definitely got some type of... I know that both help with bipolar. That's all I'm saying.
I don't think she's bipolar. I think she's just traumatized. But she could probably have used like a short-term mood enhancer.
A little.
SSRI. Which, ironically, I've never taken an antidepressant.
I live on them.
I did snort one once, and it wasn't mine, and it was a terrible idea.
I'm so glad you're sober. Bad idea. I'm just going to throw that out there.
I think it was, like, before my, I think it was like before like my logic class.
Yeah, that seems like a logical thing to do. Well, like, what do you even get out of snorting, like, an antidepressant? It's not like Adderall or...
Heart palpitations and a bloody nose. That's what you get.
Wow, that seems super fun. Remind me to put it on my to-do list.
Some girl we knew had it, and my friend Dave and I, we both had severe drug problems. We're like, she's like, yeah, you can take one. And then we're like, well, if it works if you take it with water, it should work great if you snort it.
Antidepressants take, like, weeks to build up in your system to work and do anything. Like, you take one pill, it's going to do absolutely nothing.
I mean,
nothing.
Kelly.
I know, I mean...
Once again, I snorted a Zoloft before Logic... Like, I went to my Logic... Is Logic a class?
There is a class. It's not called...
I know, yes. It was a philosophy course.
It was about logic.
That was like,
yes.
If this,
I've taken
then
that.
That.
It's not called logic, I don't think. But yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. Because I've taken that class as well.
Yeah. Logistics?
No, I think that's... Anyways, no. Continue.
I did very well in the class, even with the Zoloft.
I take Zoloft every day for my OCD. I would never.
Don't snort.
Could you imagine me ever snorting anything?
Yeah. So, secrets of a Jewish mother. I'm gonna let you take the reins on this one.
Sorry, I was looking up to see if logic is called logic, and I think it is just called logic. Well, it says logic courses. Sorry, I'm like now I'm down the rabbit hole. I gotta stop. I gotta get out. Jesus. This is what happens. I don't like not knowing things. So this whole scene was just... Okay, first off, these fucking people have a book and I don't have a book.
Whoa. I don't think this book ever came out.
Am I going back to my Google rabbit hole? Yes, I am. Are you going to get there quicker? Probably.
I don't know. I'm having issues today. Secrets.
Yeah, it's out.
Jewish.
You can get it for $8.99 on Google Play, $4.08 on eBay, $3.85 from Discover Books with free shipping. Wow. I might get it just for the sole fact that it's $3.85. Just to do a review on it.
If the photo shoot was any indication, I will never read this book.
I'm actually looking at... I want to get it just to do a review of the fucking thing. Oh, my God.
There is a book, I think, called Secrets of a Jewish Dog Mother.
I don't know, but I'm definitely getting this freaking book. Okay, so anyways. This whole thing was just so...
Did you just order this book?
I'm about to check out, yeah. I'll wait till after. I'm going to write a review on our blog once I actually finish getting stuff done.
I love it. What if it's, like, the best advice ever and you just, like, your whole life changes because you read this book? And then, like, we just become a Jill Zarin book club.
Oh, my God. But it's just that one book over and over and over again?
Yeah. Just every week we talk about that one book.
I'm just curious if... Is her mom still alive?
I don't know,
but I'd be like, you know what? I'm a fan of Gloria. She's got great advice. I'm going to become Jewish. I'm going to convert. It's going to be great. I already spit. I'm already verklempt. I'm just going to talk a little bit more in my nasal passage. Just to get the, like, the... Just to really get the, yeah.
The Long Island.
Right.
You want to get the Long Island, like, thing. Yeah.
But she's like, no, I don't like it. I don't like it. And I'm not happy. Your mother's not happy. The whole time, Jill's sister, Lisa, and her mother, Gloria, were insufferable. For someone to be worse than Jill is...
Okay, that's interesting, because this is how I took it. Jill, most insufferable. Mom, second most insufferable. Poor Lisa Wexler is just a nice girl who's been ignored her entire fucking life.
To me, it just felt like the sister and mom were just complaining the whole time rather than just like Like, it felt like Jill was just like, all right, let's just enjoy it, get it done. And they were just, like, complaining. Yeah. Like,
well, also, like, when they went to hug and they were like, no, it has to be equal. It has to be, because apparently her mom was like, no, it's equal. Like, your whole life it's going to be equal. And Jill was like, I don't want it to be equal. I want it my way. And she was, like, just pulling a Kim Kardashian the entire time. Like, that's all I could think of is that first opening of, like, Keeping Up with the Kardashians where she runs in and she, like, butt swipes everyone out of the way.
See, all I could think of is, like, or all I can hear is, like, her mom being like, stand up. You gotta be the same height. You gotta be the same height. Bend down. Don't bend down. Don't bend down. Stand up. Because, like, Lisa was in the back on the couch, like, kind of doing that slouch thing to get on the same level.
Yeah, but, like, her face, yeah, her face was pointing down because she's so tall. Like, there was no other way to get her in the frame. And, like, Jill was purposely putting her there so she would look better because she's clearly insanely jealous of her sister who's smart, successful, and didn't have to suck dick for money.
But you know? Her passion is retail.
I mean, she has a job of her dreams, so I don't know what she's jealous of. She's going to have to sell a lot more fabric.
Fabric.
I'm going to have to sell a lot more fabric.
Zarin fabrics. I just choked on my... No. I'm fine.
Oh my God, are you okay? I'm glad someone's home this time.
You know when I die, it's going to be amidst filming.
Hold on, guys. We're going to pause this podcast. 911.
Please note, hello? There are three dogs in the house. There are three dogs in the house.
She has a stapler, so please be careful.
Afraid to use it. I mean, at this, I didn't really... This was more of like a throwaway scene.
I do wish I was a little bit of a therapist because I did want to dissect the family dynamic there a little, but
oh, this guy wrote. I want to meet him. As a bit of an interlude, we see Jill on a photo shoot for the cover of her book. She's co-written with her sister Lisa and mother Gloria. There should have been a comma there, buddy. It's more like a contest to see which of the three of them is the biggest diva of the family. It's neck and neck. Okay, and you're missing apostrophes. How is this on the Wall Street Journal? Anyways, it's neck and neck between Jill and Mom Gloria. Sorry, Lisa, you're a lightweight. It's fun while it lasts, but it has to end because it's fashion week. Remember? Okay, there's like no apostrophes and shit in this. It was very irritating. But like, I liked the wrestling kind of reference there. Sorry, Lisa. Yeah. You're a lightweight. You're not quite diva material.
Poor Lisa.
I wouldn't say poor Lisa. She's probably better off than everyone.
So we go to... I know. But I like her. Like, I like her.
Yeah, she's
I think
normal.
She's great. She's the only person in that family
I like the dad. Like. He's just kind of quiet and like, meh.
He's like, if I talk, they're just going to start talking over me. There's no point.
It's like my mom. My poor mom. That's how she is. She's just silent. She's like, there's no point in talking.
Nobody cares. No one cares. So Bethany and Ramona go to dinner and they start dishing about drama. But Ramona's a little bit of a Stepford wife here.
She's talking about the new Ramona and how Ramona isn't getting in the middle, but she wants to hear both sides, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well... That'll
very
change.
Very quickly.
I think
next scene? I'm pretty sure it's the next scene. It's like, flash forward, an hour and a half.
I just like that she goes, Jill will be on me like white rice.
I will never get sick of Ramona-isms, ever.
No, she's amazing. All right. So we go to Jill hosting a party at Saks.
Ramona calling out that Jill got banned from Saks, that rumor.
Mm-hmm. Blackballed.
Amazing. For it.
Yeah. Like, Ramona's actually amazing this entire thing. And I love that, like, she literally walked up to Alex and was like, "Are they acting crazy or am I crazy?" And she's like, "No, they're acting crazy."
I mean, the whole, like, they're just bizarre. She's like, "Oh, you getting your boobs done?" And she's like,
"Yeah."
Kelly's like, "Oh my God. Oh my God. You're like, you're showing your tits for Playboy. I'm sorry someone asks you if you got a boob job. Be ready for that question more often." Yeah. Your boobs are going in two different directions and everybody notices.
Yeah. So let's start where Luann shows up to Jill's house. Oh, wait. There wasn't like little thing where Jill was showing off her Louis Vuitton luggage. Louis Vuitton bag luggage, which I would kill for, by the way, but I still wanted to kill Jill for like acting the way she was acting. And then Luann shows up to Jill's house, and since Gloria doesn't have Bethany anymore, Luann's the new, like, you're my family, you know, fixture, the new project. And I love how Luann acts like her marriage was like an 18th century novel. In like, she was Elizabeth Barrett. Is that the chick from Pride and Prejudice?
I think it's Bennett.
Did I get that one? Bennett, yes, thank you. Sorry, I've only read that one.
I haven't
read
it in years.
Not a huge Jane Austen fan.
I used to be. Not so much anymore.
Bronte sisters, I'm all over because they're dark as fuck. But Jane Austen's a little too nice. She acts like, you know, she met Mr. Darcy and they just had this amazing love affair. You were both fucking other people for the majority of your marriage. And not in an open relationship, just like cheating on each other. You know? Yeah.
I did want to bring up a point that I forgot to mention earlier with Kelly and Luann. Kelly asks how she should introduce Luann. I believe it was the beginning and it wasn't the party. Okay, yeah.
At Pamela Rowland.
And Luann goes, "Oh, you can just introduce me as Luann." Oh, because you flipped out when Bethany introduced you as Luann 2 seasons ago.
Well, she's at Pamela Rowland with, not
four
people.
What if a photographer and her assistant asked?
That's still Luann getting attention. Like, if the driver was there or, like, a maid.
But she didn't clarify, so what if...
I know. I know. But I'm just saying it was because there weren't many poor people around. Mm-hmm. So Ramona shows up to the sex party in, like, see-through underwear. What the fuck was she wearing? Who? Ramona?
I can't with the fashion with these ladies in this time period. Like, it just reminds me of the 2010 era and how bad clothes were at that point. And it's...
Yeah.
I will say, Alex has been looking better and better. She's gotten her hair
fantastic.
Under control, which really was my biggest thing. She must have gotten a keratin treatment, something. But now that her hair is in control, I'm like, oh, God, thank you. She looks so much prettier. And it's coming from me. Yeah. I mean, my hair is a fucking disaster. I'm not on TV, though. I got a face for radio. Well, no. Technically, I'm in a movie.
My God. What did I say about that self-deprecating thing?
I wasn't self-deprecating. I was talking about the hair. Because I have that frizzy.
So Simon makes a joke about Mario's joke about Luann, and they show Luann's face, and it's just like,
I felt like his joke fell so flat, though. I was like, I think he's making a
tell.
I was like, I think he's making a joke. Is he making a joke? And then Ramona goes, "I get like a little, like, she's doing the worm. She's like, "Are you talking about Mario? Are you talking about Mario?" And, like, her head does this, like, weird worm thing to get in the middle of the group. I was like, where the fuck did she come from? She's like, "Are you talking about Mario?" Did you notice that?
I did. That's really
I
funny.
was like, where the fuck did this bitch come from? Full on, like, whoop!
Like the Grinch who stole Christmas
Yes!
when he comes, like, when he's slithering.
It was almost like they were in a closed circle and she went under their feet and popped back up just to be part of the group.
Yeah.
Like,
hello,
like, or like
I
one of
here.
Those, the snakes in the baskets that dance with the flute.
Yeah.
I wish everybody could see us right now.
The Ramona Charmer.
Oh my gosh. Are you talking about Mario? That's just all playing on repeat. Are you talking
yes,
about
yes,
Mario?
We
are you talking about Mario? It just is like on a loop. Oh my god. Wow. Whoa. Whoa.
And then to combat, like, Luann being passive-aggressive yet again about the Mario comment, Ramona goes, Simon, Alex, Luann didn't want you at her party, or Luann didn't want me to invite you to the party. That's why she said she wasn't going to come.
So much stirring of feces going on right now. There is some shit stirring, and I love it. I'm here for it. It is the exact opposite of the detachment she was showing with Bethany. It was like one of the producers was like, hey, yeah, that dinner scene with Bethany was kind of boring. We're going to need you to step it up a notch.
Like white rice?
Just
come
step
on,
it
really.
Up a notch. And then she's like, a notch? I'm going to step it up 10 notches. Wait till they see. And that's what happened.
And
it
was amazing.
I was here for it.
Yeah, laughing out loud funny. It was like ABC's Thursday night lineup, NBC's
lulls,
Thursday
lulls
night.
Lulls all around. Lulls all around.
Yes. And then, like, at one point, Ramona's just standing there. And she looks like a full-on mental patient. She's just, like bugging out, like, twitching.
I mean... The show deserves an Emmy, I'm telling you.
Did you like that? I have a mute button, so now I can yell at my dogs and you won't
You know
hear.
You've always had a mute button on Audacity, right?
No.
Actually, hold on. Actually, I might
Wait,
be thinking
a mute
of
button?
Zencaster. Sorry, hold on.
Yeah.
I'm not going to test this out now. I'll test it out later. But that there is...
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Listen, we've had an... We've
I think there
had
is something we can
issues.
Do. I'm just not doing it right now, and we're almost wrapped up.
I have a mute button right
yes.
on the mic, and that's
I have
perfect.
A mute button with the other platform that I use.
I can't fuck anything up. Yeah. Where are we? Ramona and Alex talking about Jill, and then Alex confronts Jill about the leg thing. This is actual
yes.
gaslighting.
Yep. 100%. This
yes.
scene...
Where they're like, that never happened.
Yes, that is 1,000% what actual gaslighting is. Seeing Alex crying
yeah.
made me so upset. I was so mad. But I loved that Alex was like, and Jill was like, it's fine, we're okay. And she's like, you know what? We're at this party, we're okay right now. Like, she didn't say we're
yeah.
okay. She didn't say I'm over it. She said, you talked about my kids, that's not cool. And basically said, they'll talk about it another time in depth. And then Luann
yeah.
comes over and she's
yeah.
like, no, I was the one that said it, darling. I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, and the heart of what Alex was trying to say was, whoever said it didn't really matter. You were talking shit
mm-hmm.
about my kids. So don't do that, because that
Keep
makes
the kids
you
And
asshole.
For them to be like, oh, we thought it was funny. No, you didn't, because you made a rude-ass comment when you made the comment.
Yeah, we thought it was funny as in we were laughing at
yes.
you.
We thought it was funny
Not
because
you
really aren't a good parent. It was like more of an ironic funny because you're writing that book.
Yeah. Although I don't know if I know what the word ironic means. Yeah, you said you got a little. So.
It's not what Alanis Moore. It's not it's a long what story. Alanis Moore says it is.
Yeah, it was. I was making a political statement or a statement about politics, and I said, "Is it blah 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 ironic?" And then like the three twats I'm in a group message with, all three of them had to be like, on separate moments, that's not what irony means. That's not what irony means. And I'm like, why don't you all go suck a dick? Because I'm going to... Actually, I think what I actually said was, you know, the next time I fight with a feminist about all the men who are super supportive in my life, I'm going to think of this moment and call you all fucking dicks.
I love that. That's amazing. Also, I love that I just called you out earlier on gaslighting. So twice today, people are being dicks about the words you're using. Mine was more to let you know that... You're not dumb. It was more to just let you know, like, I know you know what it means. I know what you're trying to say, but it's not really that. So I like the gaslighting by proxy.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that was fine. But it was just, I think, because it was the second time today.
I would I'm a little sensitive. I'd be like, fuck me. I would be too. Listen, it's Mercury and Gatorade as...
Oh my God, that woman's about to have a child.
All of those women are about to have children. Lala Lord is help us all. Posting naked pregnant thirst traps on fucking Instagram.
She is a thirst trap. Like, she's just... go away. Go away, you little Kim wannabe.
So I'm in this group, for this podcast I listen to, which I'm not giving free promo to, so suck a dick. And these girls were like, I'd much rather see naked Lala's bump than Stassi's gross Halloween bump. Because Stassi, for Halloween, painted her bump, because she's like, do any day, painted her bump like a child was coming out of it. It was actually pretty funny. And they were like,
oh, yeah.
I think it was more tasteful than Stassi's Halloween costume. I'm like, first off, they're two separate things. Also,
yeah, I thought it was funny, like, the shade that people were throwing at that costume. Because I know we're all supposed to hate Stassi now because she's, like, Satan.
I love her.
Whatever.
I don't really give a fuck. I always will.
Not that I don't give a fuck about what she said and did, and she should be held accountable. But, like, I don't do that whole, like, I hate you because you made a mistake thing.
No, I don't either.
Thing.
It's
like,
cancel culture, and I don't believe in it.
Also, I'm not her friend, so it doesn't matter.
For me, it's mostly,
you know?
If you cancel people, you don't give them the opportunity to learn from what they did. So, like, accountability. Well, that's all I have to say.
Brene Brown
says, I have her book.
Yes, I'm quoting Brene Brown.
Braving the Wilderness.
I love her. Yeah, so Brene Brown says, specifically about cancel culture, that shame does not work. And that is what cancel culture is. So that is something that we need to consider before we decide to cancel people. Aggression does not defeat aggression. That's my little spiel.
Confucius says it is better to light a small candle than to curse the darkness. I just wanted to quote someone. I felt like that's what we were doing. I just wanted to... That was the only thing that I could quote. Yeah. Okay. We actually, on my part.
But now I have to say, hold on, I have to get this out because I can't ever, if someone brings up Confucius, I have to say it. Confucius say, man who stick his penis in peanut butter is fucking nuts.
glad you said it, glad you said it. Worth it, worth it. This next week's podcast that comes out, we actually discuss on my other podcast, the Morning Show podcast, we are discussing why people suck, like reasons that...
That's... Is it like 20 hours long?
We narrowed down some talking points, but one of the things was cancel culture we talked about and how we hate it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Not a fan. I just... think there's a better way to handle things.
Yeah, same. And I don't want to get into it. But...
I've never changed somebody's mind about a core belief. just by arguing with them about it or trying to make them feel bad about it. And I've certainly done both, but I've never actually been successful. You know, core beliefs are something that, by the way, me as a white person trying to convince another white person that they shouldn't be racist is probably not going to work. That is a conversation, that is a change that happens through experience with specifically black, or not specifically black people, but like it's something that like you have to be exposed to something, to a specific person,
situation, to a specific
scenario that makes you go, huh, maybe I've been looking
Taylor
at that
Swift
wrong.
Has a song,
you know,
on her new album, and I think the video is filmed with the guys from Queer Eye, and one of the lines in the song is talking about how like words never make anyone less gay, like, so having posters and like saying all this stuff, like, that's not gonna change a gay person from being gay. So all you're doing is just putting your own anger out into the world. It's not changing the situation.
Yeah, and yeah, it's making you feel great, but you're not, it's performative allyship. You're not actually helping anybody. You're just making yourself feel better, and you're going, I'm on the right side of history now because I've canceled Stassi and I've made her the enemy of the state, but you haven't actually helped anyone or anything. And that's ultimately just, you're just as much part of the problem as she is as a result. And I don't know, whatever. But my other point about the Stassi Halloween costume was that all these women, because they hate her, were like, oh, that's deplorable. And I go, well, it's kind of an abortion joke, which basically, if you're finding that to be gross and deplorable, you're also saying that you're kind of finding abortion to be gross and deplorable. So that's a whole other topic, ladies, that you should probably consider before. Maybe abortion's not funny to most people. I think it's hilarious.
I mean, I don't give a shit one way or the other. You do you, boo.
Yeah, I think nothing is sacred to me. I think you can make a joke out of anything.
That's why I hate cancel culture, because it's ruining comedians' careers. But, anyways.
Yeah. I don't know, did you see Bill Burr on Saturday Night Live?
But, yes.
Yeah. Took it back.
I know, I'm glad. I can't wait. Let's move on.
Yes.
Because we're almost there.
We're so
and I
want
to end off by reading Bethany's blog.
So, okay. So, it basically just, Ramona is like very manic during this whole thing. We talked about the boob job thing with Kelly Bensimone, and then she leaves to go somewhere more interesting. I don't know. I just kind of ended my notes with, I hate this whole party. These cows are stressing me out.
I mean, the only thing that about the party that I took away was Ramona was amazing, and Alex is, she does not deserve these people.
No. We Alex was a housewife that none of us ever
truly
deserved.
And then, of course,
like, she's
Luann
too good
had to
for
make a
show.
Comment about Simon liking shopping more than all of the girls combined. It's like, shut up. Who cares? Let him fucking shop.
Of course. Because, yeah, just let him be Simon.
He's fabulous. He's happy. Alex is happy. Suck a dick, Luann.
Yeah. And they probably have, like, the best sex life out of
everybody.
Because
they have a healthy relationship. The house don't fall if the bones are good.
That's
Maren Morris country song. Figured if I said it like that, it might sound like I thought of it myself.
You should have just gone with it. I thought
I can't
you thought
take credit
of it
for
yourself.
Things I don't do. It's like lying. I don't know how to lie. I can't do it. It like, do you see how red I am? Do you see how red I am right now? For like even thinking about taking credit for something that wasn't mine? I can't. I'm not a good liar. I can't do it. Would you like me?
All right.
Okay.
Bethany's blog. Okay, go.
That was me getting the papers ready.
Oh, you're doing like the Walter Cronkite news anchor
and
thing.
Okay. 4, 3, 2, 1. Back to you, Kelly. March 24th, 2010. Bethany's Bravo blog. Thanks for all of your honest comments. I read them all, and the statistics are correct. Bravo has the most intelligent, perceptive audience. I'm not going to read this like Bethany because I was thinking about it, and then I stressed myself out. So, just know that I thought about it. I can't believe how much you guys get. You pick up on nuances in the show that even I miss. That said, your summary of what is going on with the relationships on the show is spot on. Trust your gut. It is always right in how I live my life. Jason comes from a very simple background. He doesn't understand massive drama, catty interactions, and anger. He believes that we should only have people in our lives who want the best for us. It's interesting that your mic does that. When you mute, you would assume when you click the button, you wouldn't be able to hear the button mute and unmute, but you can. And I think that's hysterical. Sorry for the aside of that, but that just, I was like, I feel like that's a design flaw on their part. Anyways, it worked. Hey.
Listen, at least you can't hear me gulping water.
No shade to you. I just was like, huh. Interesting. Anyways, back to Jason and how he comes from a simple life. He thinks that my friendship with Jill definitely ran its course based on the events that he has witnessed during our relationship. He thinks that I should only surround myself with positive energy, particularly during this time when we're starting a family with so much to celebrate. Luann loves to give a condescending dig. I think after 3 years of darlings and the countessness combined with the Jill meddling, I just hit the wall going 90. I don't love that I unleashed my anger in that way. I stand by my words, but not by my delivery. I was like a pit bull. I suppose I wanted to say what I needed to say to her face rather than rant to someone else. Not my finest moment. I don't know if Luann has anything in particular against me. I just think she knows that I know what time it is with her, and I always have. The Skinny Girl Party was a huge success. I'm so thrilled with the product's success. Ugh, I hate when people use the same word twice. I definitely was like a teenager, peer pressure pusher with Kelly. Wow, say that five times fast. Teenage peer pressure pusher with Kelly. I guess I just wanted her to taste it and lighten up a bit. I never thought that I'd be in a room with Kelly again, but I wanted to come from, quote unquote, a place of yes as much as possible. I was trying to lighten my load as much as possible. I hate when people use the same word two sentences in a row. It drives me nuts. It is one of my biggest literary pet peeves. This woman has bestsellers. Okay, sorry. I love her, too. I love her.
Yeah.
It's just... that's my own fault. It's me. I'm not putting in the work that I need to put in. I'm projecting it onto her, though this is not... Anyways. I'm not sure that worked so well, but I came from a good place. But generally, I have no interaction with Kelly whatsoever, so I suppose not much has changed. You gotta love Ramona. Ramona can't help herself, and somehow she'll always end up in the middle of something. Thank God for her. Our show needs her like the desert needs water. Jill's sax party made my Luann lashing look like a calm stroll in the park. I joke that Ramona has a mild form of Tourette's. When she launches, there is no turning back. Jason and I watch in disbelief. She made me feel sane, so I thank her for that. To be fair, asking Kelly about her breast implants was not an appropriate inquiry conversation, regardless of where they were. I did find it perfect, though, that Luann condones discussing it behind Kelly's back, but never to her face, darling.
Yes. I actually wrote that somewhere, and I forgot to say it.
Bethany said it for you.
Yeah. Actually, if I go back to my notes, it's, Lou, you can talk about it, whisper about it, but you don't come out and ask. So talking about shit behind people's back is good etiquette.
She's the fucking worst. I do love later on when she, every time I need a laugh, when she,
falls in a bush.
Every fucking time. Oh, I might just watch it now for fun.
Yeah.
So everyone, thank
She falls in that bush like a fucking indigo girl. Like,
I thought when you were thinking about what to say, I thought you were like about to do the, all right, Kelly, I'm done. So I was like, all right, everyone, thanks for... Instead, you came up with that gem, and I appreciate that. That was a good
Thank
one.
Thank you.
I enjoyed that quite a bit.
I just cracked myself up.
Yes. Oh, it's not a good podcast unless we get one snort in there.
Oh, all right. Got it into control.
You good? Are you whistling? I'd whistle with you, but I don't know how.
All right, I'm
Can
done.
We just cut
I'm
the
done.
Show there. That just ends the okay. show. We don't even have an outro. It's yes. just you doing that. I think that's how it should be this week.
Me just and laughing.
Then,
yeah,
and then you
silent
saying,
laughing.
It's good, I'm good. And then you break into the laughter again, and then we just cut. I think we should do it this week.
Maybe. Do you want to do right, the same just not? In case?
Hey, everyone. Thanks again for listening. If you've right. made it this far, we appreciate it, as always. Please make sure to follow us, rate us, and leave us a review on your podcast platform of choice. If you're going on Apple, it would be subscribe. If you go on Spotify, it'd be following. I don't know any other platforms and what they do, but do whatever they do. Feel free to give us some love at www.andnowwesaidit.com. You can find our episodes there, our past episodes too. We do have a blog that neither of us fucking touch, but it will be updated at some point. You can find us on social media, which we also haven't updated in a year and a half, at And Now We Said It. Please go to projectcomeback.org. It's a great cause. We'd appreciate any help that you can get. Give, donate, all of the words that should be there. And I would love it if you could go to Kelporter, KELLPORTER.com. Show me some love there. And if you're in the mood for another podcast on your morning commute, head on over to the Best Mediocre Morning Show, where you can hear me talk a whole lot of nothing. Thanks, guys. You doing okay?
I can't believe you just did that. Oh my god, I'm okay. In my defense, I've been up since 3:30 in the morning, and it's now like 7:15. So I am officially done. I can't believe you kept a straight face during all of that with me fucking
it was hard.
Dying.
It was
in the
not
background.
Easy. And additionally, I fucked up some of the things. I was like, and have down, do, give. I don't know. We haven't posted in a year and a half. Like. We finished.
Oh,
we did it.
All right. We did it. I'm sweating. I need a shower. Thank you, everyone. Sorry I lost it in the end, but I kind of lost it in the beginning and the middle, too.
That's my favorite. I love it. I love everything about when you lose it. It cracks me up.
Guess we'll talk to you guys next week.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Oh my god. I feel like we need to release the video of that just because, like, I'm like, you're talking and you're doing such a good job, and I'm just, like, dead.